Another episode of Trail Talk SA. My name is Brad Brown. Thanks for joining us today, and thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this weekly podcast on the trail running scene in South Africa. It's so good to have you on board. Well, I've been running a survey to find out who you want us to chat to here on Trail Talk SA, and a lot of names have come up. Ryan Sands, obviously, is one of them. We managed to chat to him in episode one. If you haven't heard that interview yet, I would really suggest go back, find episode one, and have a listen to that. What a phenomenal guy. Another person who's come up really big on that survey is AJ Collitz, and I managed to track him down this week, and spent quite a bit of time with him, actually. Very long interview, but very interesting, actually. So that's coming up on this week's show. Also, a race that's happening right now, as I record this, in Iceland, part of the Race the Planet series. It sounds like an amazing, amazing race. But I managed to catch up with a South African who, funnily enough, has got a cycling background, but he's running this race. Dave Balez, who is the organizer of the Cape Argus Pick and Pay Cycle Tour, has done a bit of trail running, and he's gone over. He's running this with his girlfriend. I managed to touch base with him just before the race started to find out exactly what brought this trail running bug on. That's coming up in the show. And we'll also chat to Robin Hyde from The Modern Athlete to find out what's coming up in this month's magazine as far as trail running goes. They've got some really cool articles in there this month, one in particular that really caught my eye, but we'll chat more about that on this week's show. Also, to let you know, we've managed to secure an interview with Professor Tim Noakes. Obviously, the prof is in the news, and everybody's talking about his no-carb diet, high-fat, and yeah, everyone's really talking about it, and we've managed to tie him down for an interview. If you have any questions you'd like me to ask Professor Tim Noakes on your behalf, all you have to do is get over to our website, okay? It's trailtalksa.co.za/asktheprof. You can submit your questions there, and I will ask your questions on your behalf. So get there. It's trailtalksa.co.za/asktheprof. But right now, let's get straight into our first interview. Well, I've been really lucky to chat to some amazing athletes here on Trail Talk SA, and I've been running that survey to find out who you want us to chat to, and one of the names that keeps popping up is AJ Collitz, and I'm just so chuffed to have him on the show this week. AJ, welcome on to Trail Talk SA. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you. What a privilege to have you.
AJ, your journey's been quite interesting, and before we get into your journey, well done on your win this weekend in Cape Town. Tell me a little bit about the race. How did things go?
Yeah, you know, things went according to plan. You know, there's a sort of mid-season stuff, so, you know, you go into the race with tired legs, so you have to have some sort of a game plan. Just going hard from the start isn't going to work. You know, it is being cited by Stevie Kremer and Ryan Sands as one of the toughest races around. So, you know, I did it last year, had my butt kicked by Will Robinson, so I went in this year a little bit wiser. And, yeah, you know, it's a funny race that, you know, the routes aren't marked. So you have to do a fair bit of scouting and training on the trails, etc. And there's quite a lot of climbing involved, and the weather didn't really play along. Well, I say play along, you know, the weather was a little bit horrendous, but I love running in sort of adverse weather conditions. So it was actually a perfect out for me, and everything went according to plan, and had a great race.
Sounds brilliant. I mean, that you guys are just so lucky. I mean, you talk about scouting the sort of route and that sort of thing. For guys who live down in Cape Town, I mean, you guys, it's on your doorstep. I mean, it's just, you guys are built for that sort of running, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, unfortunately, I live just sort of about 25 or 30 k's outside of Cape Town in a little town called Naboestrand, which is about the flattest part of the country. What we do have our lovely beaches, and you know, beach running is you know, quite a feat, especially in the soft sand. But you know, growing up in Stellenbosch, I think I was absolutely spoiled for mountains. I mean, before trail running was even a sport, we were running around mountains just thinking it was cross country. So you know, we absolutely true. We're so spoiled for choice in and around Cape Town. I mean, I think Stellenbosch is even better. But I think the guys from Joburg are incredible athletes. You know, like guys like Tabang come down here and win SA champs when he, you know, strictly speaking, doesn't have any mountains to train on. So, you know, I think we are very, very fortunate.
Yeah. AJ, tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, you mentioned that from an early age you guys were running up and down those sort of mountains, but has sport always been in your blood and running?
Yeah, you know, I started running, you know, at the tender age of 8, but I was sort of a little fat kid in the training squad, still am. And, you know, my sister actually started running cross country, and she was a very, very good cross country and track runner. And, you know, I come from a pretty active family. My brothers surfed, and they also ran, and you know, my old man did a couple of marathons and used to run for Marty's and these kind of things. So, and then he was a mountaineer. He still is a mountaineer with a mountain club. So I think from there, the love of mountains. But from a running perspective, you know, I ran and then took up triathlon at the age of about 12 or so. Did triathlon pretty seriously through high school. Obviously dabbled a little bit in duathlon, you know, sort of the similar sports. Then the cycling bug bit me a little. You know, had the grandeurs of, you know, wearing yellow at the Tour de France, that kind of thing. But, you know, I took triathlon pretty seriously at the time. But, you know, varsity kind of happened and, you know, had to study quite hard and dabbled a bit in the varsity social life as you do. And then I got into trail by default almost. I ran Comrades 1 year and just sort of had some fitness left over from Comrades, if you will. And I saw there was a trail run in Hout Bay, the Hout Bay Triple Trouble, which I still to this day reckon probably kilometer per kilometer the hardest trail run I've ever done. And old Eric Tolner from Hout Bay was gracious enough to give me an entry. And I did it. And I got a second. I got absolutely beaten to a pulp by the course and by a guy called Rupert Becker, so a local legend. And, yeah, you know, then the bug bit me and I realized, you know, because you don't have the sort of, you know, 30 flat 10K split that the triathletes have, but you're a pretty strong runner as opposed to being a fast runner, maybe the sport can work for you. So, you know, I had a couple of runs and started enjoying it more and more. And, yeah, things just kind of got going from there.
I mean, did you have any, like, where, at that time, did you have any sort of idea of where it would take you to where you are now?
Absolutely not. You know, I always looked up to Ryan Sands, and I still do. I think he's just a fantastic runner. And, you know, I'd heard about him and read about him and just thought, yes, you know, this guy is living la vida loca. I mean, running these beautiful mountains all over the world and doing these incredible things and, you know, living this lifestyle. It shames me to say that I was a little bit envious of the life that he was living. So I actually ended up doing a couple of K-Way-sponsored races, you know, unbeknownst to me that they would be one day my main sponsor. And after I'd done one or two of their races, they kind of approached me and said, you know, if we support you, will you, you know, perhaps look at doing this for a living? And, you know, I sort of went home, a little bit flabbergasted, discussed it with my wife, and she was unbelievably supportive of this. And, you know, things went from there. And, you know, I think I've been incredibly blessed just being able to do this for a living.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, and it's funny you mentioned Ryan, because Ryan's also, I mean, and you also sort of discovered it later, that it wasn't always on the radar. It was something that came along, and it's just so cool to hear that. It almost gives, not that I'm ever going to be at that sort of level, but it gives someone like myself who maybe had a little bit, no, let me not use myself because I've got no ability. Let me use someone else, fictitious character, who's maybe sitting, listening to this going, you know what, I've got a little bit of ability, but like you said, I don't have the 30 minute 10K speed, but if they apply themselves and work really hard, there is an opportunity to sort of make a name for yourself in a sport like trail running.
Absolutely. I mean, the guy who won Ultra Trail Mont Blanc this year is 61 years old. He started running at the age of 55.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's an incredible sport. I've in the past just sort of almost thought of trail running almost as a rugby game. There's a trail run for every shape and size. Whatever your ability, there's a trail run for you. You know, I'm not saying pick your runs, but, you know, in a rugby team, you've got such a huge difference in size and ability and skill, but playing together as a team. And trail is sort of the same thing, where if you're faster, you can find a flatter, faster run. If you're a stronger climber, you can find sort of a more mountain run as opposed to a normal trail run or cross-country run. If you or a harder runner, you find a longer race. If you're a runner that adapts well to altitude, you can find an altitude run. If you're a runner that adapts well to heat, you can find a desert run. You know, so it's almost as his or her niche. And I think that in itself is a great part of the sport. I think the variety of conditions and the ability to adapt almost the run to your personal style, I think, is one of the main draw factors of trail.
Yeah, I mean, you can almost play to your strengths, essentially.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? At the end of the day, you enjoy things you do well. I mean, I was never a very an excellent math student. I hated maths because of it. But I was always good at languages, and I enjoyed it, so I excelled at it. So, you know, just as an example, so, I mean, I've you know, sort of found my niche as a half-decent climber. So I enjoy climbing, so I find races that, you know, that need me, that force me to climb a lot. So that's my forte, because I've chosen it to be.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it is. It's an amazing sport. And we mentioned it when we first started chatting, is South Africa, or as a South African, we don't realize how lucky we are. I mean, you go to Europe and you race in Europe in the Transalps and that sort of thing. But if you look at the conditions that those guys live in, they've practically only got 6 months of the year that they can actually train in. Whereas here, you can train all year round. I mean, conditions are so conducive. And I think that's probably why we're also starting to produce more and more world-class athletes.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's a multifactorial. But one thing that I must just mention is 90% of the European trail runners that do well are also ski mountaineers.
Okay.
So just bear that in mind, that when they can't run trail, almost all of them do ski mountaineering.
Yeah.
Which is just the most unbelievable sport to up your VO2 max. I mean, Killian Jornet was a ski mountaineer before he turned into a trail runner. I mean, every year Transvolcania is around about the end of the ski mountaineering season, so he ends up doing about a week's worth of running training before he runs Transvolcania, and he won this year with a new record. So just bear that in mind.
Sheesh.
That they do have an advantage that they can do ski mountaineering. But to get back to your point, yes, we have the most incredible places to train in South Africa, and I think where we have an advantage is we have incredibly fast runners. If you look at the average marathon in South Africa, the runners are incredible. These black guys come from the townships and they run, you know, they're 15 guys running sub-220 marathons. And this is filtering down in teams and these kind of things, and it's making the general pace of running quicker. So exactly the same with trail. I think our guys that are going to Worlds this year have a lot of speed, which will really count in their favor. So I'm looking forward to great results from South African trail running in the future, just because we've got a lot of fast runners. And if we can get our guys to be proficient in mountainous environments, I think we will have incredible international talent.
Yeah, exactly. AJ, what's next on the cards for you?
Sure. You know, I've been racing quite a lot this year. I promised my wife that I would race a little bit less and you know, spend a little bit more time at home and these kind of things. But, you know, it's difficult because something pops up on the calendar. You see there's a race in Swellendam, 60Ks, with 7,000 meters of elevation. You go, oh, that must be epic. So it has been a busy year, but next on the calendar for me would be probably Otter. I don't think I'll race again before that. You know, that being sort of the main local focus of the year. And, you know, just on that, I was absolutely blown away. Everywhere I went in Europe, the guys knew about Otter. Absolutely every single trail runner I met that I told I was from South Africa, they asked, have I done Otter? So Otter has sort of become the Cape Argus of trail running. Everybody knows about it. It's an absolute have to do. So forever who's listening, it seems as though you haven't run trail unless you've done Otter.
Yeah, so, it's funny you say that. I asked Ryan Sands, like, what are the races that you would suggest people put on their bucket list? And that was the number one race that he said for South Africans. So, you've hit the nail on the head. I think everybody needs to run that race.
Absolutely. And you know what? There are a couple more. You know, Skyrun, obviously. There's a new one called the Matrosburg Sky, which is actually going to be sanctioned by the World Skyrunning Federation from next year on. which is a marathon distance skyrunning race in the Western Cape, which I just think is incredible. And then there's also the Lesotho Sky, sort of middle towards the end of November, James Hallett from Go Trail is organizing. And that's already been sanctioned by the World Skyrunning Federation. And all of the Americans are sending their top runners and the Canadians and these guys. So I think that is going to be just the most amazing event. And I also think if you're going to add one to your bucket list, that's definitely going to be one to do. It's, you know, you're climbing also in the region of 5,000 or 6,000 meters. You start at about 2,400 meters, climb about to about 3,100 meters or so. So that's some serious, serious altitude. And I've seen the introductory videos. They look just amazing. And Alinda Doak and I are hosting a course there just on altitude and skyrunning in October. So very, very excited about that. And I really think that is one of the races that's going to put South Africa on the map, just because if it becomes part of the World Skyrunning Series, the overseas athletes can come to South Africa and get points to improve the international rankings and obviously, you know, have a go at the title. So, I think the next year, I think, is going to be incredible for South African trail running. The fact that Solomon have gotten on board with the Otter, I've heard Birdies whisper that Killian might be running Otter next year. So wow, that would be very, very exciting.
Sounds brilliant. And then, AJ, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Ryan. I mean, we've got amazing races here in South Africa, but there are some unbelievable ones overseas. You've run some cool ones. What's still on your bucket list internationally and locally?
Sure. Well, let's start with international. I've been invited back to Vadon, so I'll definitely be doing that again. I want to have a serious crack at Zagama again. I've got some unfinished business with that. And I promised the organizers I'll be back, so definitely that. And I haven't really thought about anything else. I definitely want to give one of the 100 milers in the States a good go. Probably the Hard Rock, just as it suits my style of running the best. But, you know, I've got to get a couple of notches under my belt before then. I don't think I'm quite at that level yet. Watch this space, maybe next year.
Cool, sounds good. And then from a local perspective, any races that you haven't done yet here that you think, you know what, I need to actually make time sometime to go and do them?
Absolutely. Definitely the Sky Run, you know, that I've indicated that I'm going to in November. Sure, there are some incredible runs in KZN that I'd love to give a go. That Wild Coast Wild Run looks amazing. You know, there are such awesome multi-day runs in and around South Africa that have just sort of eluded me in the past because of, you know, having, work and these kind of things. Yes, there's a race towards the end of the year in Namibia, which forms part of the Ultimate Ultra Series, which unfortunately I won't be able to do this year because I've already gotten a Skyrun commitment, but it's a five-day self-supporting run through the Namib Desert, which I think must just be unbelievable. So that is definitely on my bucket list for next year.
Cool, it sounds lekker. And then, AJ, give us a bit of, if somebody's listening to this who's maybe brand new to the sport and struggling to find their feet and find their groove, what advice would you give to a novice getting going?
Sure. You know what? Really hard question. Personally, I think don't be overwhelmed by what you see. I think a lot of guys jump into trail and think, I must get these pair of trail shoes and I must get this pack and. Where you can sort of go a long way with what you've got and just rather spend your time and your money on getting to awesome trails and just people get too caught up in the image of trail running instead of just loving the running itself. And it's almost the advice that I'd like to give is just get out there and run and just absolutely love it because you're very fortunate. If the advice is more pertaining to training, my advice has always been every minute you win in the first half is 10 you lose in the second half. Trail running is a sport of pacing. You're out there for longer than you think, so absolutely pace yourself and just enjoy it because it is such a privilege.
Yeah, I love that. It's actually the first time I've heard it summed up so succinctly, that every minute you win in the first, you lose 10 in the second. And that just, you know, it's not just trail running, it's running in general. If you go out too quick, you're going to suffer in the end.
Oh, absolutely. Have a look at, I saw actually on the Otter webpage, you can now look at the statistics, you know, age, speed, these kind of things. Look at the first half stats versus the second half. You know, just how guys got pacing wrong. It's a classic example of a marathoner running comrades asking, you know, why do the winners only run 3:50 or 3:55 a K? And then going out bolting at 3:20, 3:30 a K, and then halfway lying under a bush crying.
Yeah.
It's the classic runner's example of runner's euphoria. So, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I love trail, because you see these show ponies going off very quickly and thinking, I'm going to see you in a while and you're going to be hurting.
And you reel them in. You just reel them in later on.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way with Killian.
I was going to say, he's no show pony. That's the difference.
Absolutely not. No, he just keeps going at that pace.
It's been fascinating chatting to you. I've loved it. I could chat to you forever. And I'd love to catch up with you again in the future, maybe another time where we can chat about some different things. But, thanks for taking the time to touch base with us. We want to wish you all the best from all of us here at Trail Talk SA. And we look forward to tracking your progress here and internationally, and sending positive vibes whenever you do race.
Thanks so much. You know, we really do appreciate, you know, if I can say we, on behalf of myself and the other, you know, trail runners that are fortunate enough to do it as a living, you know, it's so great to have an awesome support base. And, you know, interestingly enough, Ian Corliss from Talk Ultra International told me that he'd never seen as many tweets and requests for updates as when I was running overseas. And it just means that the South African public is 100% behind us. And you know what? It really makes a difference. It really just makes it worthwhile to know that you're running for more than yourself, and whatever result you get is for the trail running community of South Africa in general. And, you know, that just alleviates you to another level, and that's just something you carry with you. So from my side, thank you so much for the support. We really do appreciate it. And it's just awesome to see more and more of these platforms to keep runners in touch with each other. So, please send me a Facebook invite. I'd gladly invite you guys as friends and keep you up to date with this incredible sport of ours.
Cool. AJ, what I'll do as well is I'll pop all of your details, your Facebook details, your Twitter handle, all of that sort of stuff on the Trail Talk SA website. So if folks want to get in touch with you, they just need to go check out the show notes for this episode, and all of that stuff will be there.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know what? My beautiful wife does updates during the races that I do. So, you know, she'll keep everyone up to date while I'm racing. So, absolutely, please send me the invites. I'd love to invite you guys.
No, I'm quite upset now that you don't do your own updates when you're running. What's wrong with you?
The cell phones have to be in a Ziploc bag, buddy.
You need to lift your game. Learn to multitask. Come on.
Yeah,
AJ, awesome, man. It's been brilliant. You take care, and we'll definitely chat soon.
Okay. Cheers, Brad. Thanks for the call.
Well, it's a brand new month, which means there's a brand new edition of Modern Athletes out and available, and I thought I'd catch up with the folks from the magazine to find out exactly what is in this month's edition. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome Robin Hyde, the sales manager from Modern Athlete, onto Trail Talk SA this week. Robin, welcome onto the show. Tell me a little bit about this month's magazine. What can we look forward to?
Absolutely. In the August issue, of course, I think the big one is 25 years of the UTI 52K trail run. One of those larger events, and we give that a little bit of coverage. And then, of course, there's a regular feature in the magazine, Great Trails of South Africa, so look out for that. And of course, trail season is upon us, and lots to look forward to in the magazine.
Yeah, and there's also, I got a sneak peek of the mag too. The cover story is not a trail running story, it's a triathlon story, but definitely a must read, very inspirational. Tell us a little bit about who's on your cover this month.
Indeed, Brad. We feature Super Pit, of course, Peter Depreer, become an inspiration in the world through his sporting conquests. In fact, he's just become the first quadriplegic to complete a half Ironman event, and is actually now going down to take on full Ironman towards the end of the year. So really, yeah, it's going to be a good read. It's a great issue. Nasorion Super Fit is really, really inspirational, Brad.
And tell me, how can we get our hands on it?
Very simple, distributed to most running clubs throughout South Africa, also available at selected retail outlets. And of course, more exciting, Brad, we've taken the magazine onto the digital platform, so it is available now as a Digimag, and if folks would like to get their copy, very simple, get across to the Modern Athlete website. On the homepage, you can just click on a link and sign up and get it delivered to your smartphone, tablet, or PC.
Yeah, that just makes life so much easier, Robin. It's a great way to sort of consume that sort of media. So just go to modernathlete.co.za. All the details are there. Robin Hyde, thank you so much for chatting to us today. We look forward to catching up again in a month's time to find out what's coming up in the next edition.
Brad, as always, thanks again for the opportunity. We will indeed keep in touch. Take care.
Well, our next guest here on Trail Talk SA is an interesting one, because every dealing I've had with Dave Balazs has got to do with a bicycle, but this time around, not so much. Dave, welcome on to Trail Talk SA.
Brad, good to be with you, albeit from the other side of the world.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You are sitting, as we speak, in Iceland. What on earth are you doing in Iceland, Dave?
That's a question a lot of people have been asking me. Brad, yeah, I'm sitting in the capital of Iceland. I'm in Reykjavik at the moment. I'm over here on a personal journey, which has turned into a journey of something I hope that will turn out to do a lot of good back home with the Smile Foundation. But in essence, I'm over here to run a 250K self-supported ultra marathon over 6 days, which will see us running essentially through almost a desert scenario from the center of Iceland to the coast.
That's right. Dave, you just said running, and if you don't know who Dave Balazs is, he's the director of the Cape Argus Pick and Pace Cycle Tour, which involves bicycles. Dave, what brought on this running bug?
If you ask any of my friends, they'll tell you it was a midlife crisis. They'd probably be right. I think I turned 50 last year, and I decided that I wanted to push myself out of my own comfort zone. Somebody gave me a card that said life begins at the end of your comfort zone, and for 20-odd years I've been a cyclist. I love cycling. I still remain a committed cyclist. It is my passion, but I wanted to do something different, and I started to run. Really enjoyed it. Helped me lose weight, got me a lot fitter for the bike, and my girlfriend had just come back from running an event in Nepal, one of the Four Deserts challenges. And we decided that rather than buy a Harley Davidson as a midlife crisis, that heading off to Iceland to run one of these Four Desert events would be my challenge, would be my stepping out of the comfort zone. And having committed to doing it, I decided that if I was going to do something, it might as well have a positive outcome other than just, you know, a personal journey. And that resulted in me committing to run for the Smile Foundation back in South Africa, something I feel very passionate about.
Brilliant. Dave, what we'll do is before we end, we'll give out all those details for Smile Foundation if someone wants to sort of help and donate towards the cause. But let's talk a little bit about these Four Desert races. If somebody follows trail running and they sort of know about Ryan Sands, he's been one who's run some crazy and he's been involved in these desert races. But you were telling me that there's fixed ones and then there's ones that move. Tell us a little bit about how the structure of that series works.
Okay, so they've got the Four Deserts. It's the roving, it's the Racing the Planet Four Desert series. So they have, let's go from the top. We've got Sahara, Atacama, Gobi, and Greenland, and they have the events that take place every year at those locations, and then they add an additional event every year which they call a roving race, and this is one of the roving races. So 2 years ago they did Nepal. Last year they had a roving race in Jordan, and this year the roving race is in Iceland. Next year it will be Madagascar. The races all run on a very similar format. It's a 250-kilometer self-supported run, and you run on average four marathons a day for the first 4 days, and then you do an ultra-marathon of anywhere between 60 and 80 Ks, and then you end off with a very short run into the finish, between 10 and 12, depending on how the other days have been. But I think key to the whole thing is that you're carrying everything that you need to survive for those 6 days that you're running. So all your food for the entire 6 days, your clothing, your sleeping bag, your sleeping mat. They provide water and they provide a tent which you share with six other competitors on the journey. But other than that, you're on your own. Any medical supplies you need, you carry with you. They obviously have a doctor and they have medical support, but you're there to look after yourself.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, self-support sounds it sounds glamorous, but when you actually break it down to exactly what you have to do, it's quite a thing, and especially coming from someone who doesn't have a running background, which you don't.
it's been a huge shock, I must tell you. I gaily packed my bag with all those things I thought I would need for the trip, and it came in at about 16 kilos. I needed to cut that down. I wanted to come in under 10. The chances of coming in under 10 are highly unlikely. But it literally, you know, it's taking the food that you want to eat out of the containers it's in, because the containers weigh 30 grams. And 30 grams when you've got 6 days worth of food on one item is a lot. Cutting the back off your toothbrush so you just have the head. Sucking the air out of your cereal bag so that you're not carrying additional space. We've got a 32-liter backpack that we're going to be carrying. A phenomenal piece of equipment. But you battle to fit sleeping bags, puffer jackets, and all kinds of things. Because remember, the temperatures are extreme. There's an 80% chance of rain over the 6 days that we're running. And temperatures without wind chill are going to be between 0 and 10. And we're expecting with wind chill to be running in below zero at certain periods.
Oh, it sounds hectic. Dave, describe the sort of landscape that you're going to be running on to us.
To call it desolate would be kind. It is, in fact, I think it was the Apollo 11 mission used the grounds for training, or the inland of Nepal for training on. One of the Icelandic folk described it to me the other day as he hiked across Iceland, and he said there are places out there that you feel like you're the first human being ever to have stood on that ground. Currently taking place in some of the areas is the filming of a well-known TV series back home called Game of Thrones. And it's that desolate landscape that you're running through. You're running through barren lava fields. This is, after all, just one large lava island. We're going to be running past two major glaciers in the center of Iceland and then onto lava beaches. There's certain green areas that we will run through, some lovely green valleys, but literally completely uninhabited. And with no support other than our fellow runners around us.
And talking of those fellow runners, what sort of field are they looking at taking part in this year's race?
Well, one of the biggest fields they've ever had for a roving race. We're just under 280 competitors from literally every single country you can think of on the globe. It's a United Nations yet, really, isn't it? It's fantastic. And great to see South Africa so well represented. We've got some of South Africa's top runners. Ryan Sands sadly isn't here. He has won all four of the desert events, and he's also he won Racing the Planet Nepal 2 years ago. But we've got Linda Doak from Heartland Cape Town, one of our top three or four female runners in South Africa, a vet. And then a good contingent from Johannesburg. We've got some of the folk that have participated in the other events. I think there are a total of about 20 South Africans participating.
Gee, that's actually quite, I'm surprised, to be honest, but it sounds like an amazing event. So on the flip side of that coin, I'm not really surprised, because it's definitely something that if you're big into the sport of trail running, it's probably on your bucket list of races to do.
I must tell you, it has been an amazing experience leading up to this. What I have found about running is that there's a very different crowd to cycling. In cycling, it's very much about you, the bunch, and riding hard, staying in the bunch, working with people to slipstream. Trail running and running generally is a very honest sport. There's no hiding. You don't hide behind people to slipstream, and you certainly don't freewheel downhill. So you are a lot more self-reliant on your own head strength and your own body. But the folk that run are just so fantastically friendly and hugely supportive of you when you're out there. You know, when you're in trouble, there's always somebody jumping to your aid. I tend to find when I'm riding, people will ride past you going, "Are you okay?" And by the time you've had a chance to say, "No, please help," they're already okay down the road. whereas runners are ready to bail in and give you every bit of assistance. It's lovely. It has been a fantastic journey for me.
You mentioned that you still love cycling, though. Are you ready to sort of trade your sort of cleats for running shoes? Or is this just an added love that you're going to keep on doing once you get back to add to your sort of cycling that you currently do?
No, cycling is my first love. It remains my passion. I am now a committed cyclist with a bit of a running addiction. So I think this will just kind of complement my passion, which is cycling. I mean, I get back to Cape Town and I've got 4 weeks to get myself ready for the Coronation Double Century. We've got a big ride coming up with Computer Share, the Change Life Computer Share event, which is a group of folk raising money for charity up in KZN. So cycling most definitely my passion. And this is just something that is there to make me step out of my comfort zone. I love that. I love being able to test my own mental capacity, you know, when it comes to doing ultra events like this.
Yeah, and it's just so cool that you are doing it for charity, Dave. You mentioned the Smile Foundation. Tell us a little bit more about what they do.
Well, my girlfriend, when she ran in Nepal, ran for Smile and raised a whole lot of money, which went into doing operations for children with cleft palates. And I watched some of the videos of how much a simple operation that can be undertaken can really meaningfully change a child's life. A child with a cleft palate can go through life really being ostracized by their peers. And a simple operation allows them to fit in and feel normal. And, you know, one only has to look at the huge change that can be made in an individual's life by that operation. And there are so many children out there, not only children, teens and adults that can be saved the unhappiness and the sadness that goes with the stigma of having a cleft palate. So to be able to do this for the Smile Foundation in South Africa really means a lot to me. Kids, I have two children who are both very fortunate, and I think that I wanted this to have a positive outcome. Yes, it's a personal journey for me, but at the same time, if I'm able to change a few lives in the doing of it, that would mean something very special.
Yeah, without a doubt. And if somebody's listening to this and they want to sort of add some weight to your cause and maybe throw a few bucks your way, what where can they go and how can they do it?
Well, what I've done is I've used a South African portal that people use for raising money. It's something called Backer Buddy. If you go on to backerbuddy.co.za and you just search under my name, David Belairs, you'll find Racing the Planet Iceland for Smile Foundation, and you can make donations there. That money will go directly to Smile Foundation. It doesn't come through me. It goes directly to them from Backer Buddy. And for me, that was important. This is not about me running for charity, trying to cover the costs of me doing the event. This is a personal journey, and I funded that myself. And anything that I can raise will go directly to Smile Foundation. And a wonderful cause. And you know, if there is somebody out there that is prepared to make a donation, that would be fantastic.
Dave, what I'll do as well is I'll post the links from my sort of Twitter handle, and also we'll pop the link on the website too. So if somebody wants to do it, I'll just link directly to that page, and they can go straight through from the show notes from today's show.
Okay, fantastic. What I'll do then, Brad, is I'll tweet out my blog that I'm going to be writing. We do have. They have satellite communication at night where folk that are running blogs are able to book space and get on and blog. And all, if I'm in one piece at night, I'm certainly going to be writing about the experiences of the day, and I'll be getting that up each night for my friends and folk back home to kind of follow this journey.
That sounds awesome, Dave. I'll pop those details up as well, so and your Twitter handle too, so if somebody wants to follow you, they can do exactly that. Dave Belairs, I want to wish you all the best. It sounds like an amazing journey. I want to strength and courage, because it's going to get tough out there. But just remember why you're doing it, and we look forward to chatting to you once it's done.
Brad, thanks very much. And look forward to catching up with you when I get back to South Africa on this incredible journey I've been on. Thanks a ton.
Another episode of Trail Talk SA done and dusted. Please do be in touch. I love hearing from you. You can pop me an email, podcast@trailtalksa.co.za. If you're on the social media networks of Twitter and Facebook, we're there too, and we love connecting there as well. You can follow us on Twitter @TrailTalkSA, or if you're on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/TrailTalkSA. It's that easy to find us. There's lots of motivation and tips and that on those pages too, so go and look us up on those social networks. For myself, Brad Brown, it's been brilliant. I look forward to catching up with you again soon. And if you know of anyone who might be interested in this podcast, I'd really do appreciate it if you wouldn't mind forwarding the links on to maybe running mates, maybe they'll find value in this thing just as you do. That's the only way we get to grow the show. Word of mouth is a massive component to what we do. And I'd really appreciate it if you wouldn't mind helping us share the love and growing this wonderful sport that we all do love. So from myself, Brad Brown, until next week, have yourself a great one. Cheers.